Well, I can tell you, church, that the Holy Spirit doesn't discriminate against age. He's in the house this morning, and we felt his presence as we worshiped him. Is that right? Amen. Is there anyone here this week that can say that God has been faithful? The God on the mountain has still been the God in your valley. The God that walks beside you in your darkest hour and your best hour, he has proven himself to be faithful and true. Our youth found that out this weekend, that God proves over and over to be faithful and true. This weekend, I shared a message on Friday night and Saturday night with the youth. I think it's a really important message. I think it's a shame that if you're above the age of grade 12 that you missed it. What we spent our weekend focusing on is this. I'm going to recap it for you, and then I have a word that I believe for you, for this church. But we looked at this idea that your proximity determines your effectiveness. The closer you are to something, the easier the task is. The closer you are to God, the more effective you become as a Christian. We spent time looking in the Word at what is an effective Christian. The effective Christian begins to display the fruit of the Spirit. The effective Christian begins to fulfill the Great Commission that we see in Matthew 28. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Our proximity to God makes us effective. We looked at this, and I think it's important. What I dove into is the idea of our proximity to Jesus does three things. The closer we get to God, it produces authority. We see that when Jesus called the disciples to him, in the book of Matthew, we see that the disciples came to him, Jesus was with them, and then gave them power to go out and ultimately change the world as we know it. Jesus gave them his presence before he gave them the power. Our proximity to Jesus produces the anointing. We looked at the woman with the issue of blood. Everyone was surrounded by Jesus. But one woman who dared to press her faith a little farther and get a little closer, received the anointing. Then we looked at a few things that keep us separated. We're distracted. We're too busy. We're too unfocused. And then we drilled down and we spent time getting this idea of getting close to God. And I want to tell you, I want to encourage you with this. That message, that idea, it was not over their heads. These youth that are in this church are hungry for the presence of God. And I want that to be an encouragement and a challenge for you, the church, this morning. That these young people are hungry for more. You have in this place an incredible ministry. You have an incredible youth group. You have an incredible youth pastor. You have incredible volunteers. You have a group on fire that is pressing in. And I don't know if you understand, in this day and age, in this society, in this culture, how incredible that actually is. Amen? I want to spend some time this morning giving you, the church, guidance on how to foster the next generation. This generation is coming up behind you quickly, and they are ready and willing to take the torch. I want to spend time this morning talking about this idea of passing the torch. But although this generation is coming up, although this generation is hungry, that is not without work on your part as the church. And I believe that this word is for this church, PPT, today, at this time in our history. Our kids program, our youth program, is literally bursting at the seams. And if you've been to other churches, you know that's not the case. So we have a responsibility to lead these people and pass the torch. If you have your Bibles, open them to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1 says, this is Paul addressing Timothy, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." In verse 2, "And what you have heard from me," Paul is saying, Timothy, "what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men," entrust to faithful students, entrust to the next generation who will be able to teach others also. In Paul's second letter to Timothy here, he begins to address Timothy as more than a subordinate. Paul is opening his heart to the man that would succeed him in his ministry. At this point, Paul knows that his work is drawing to a close. And if you continue to read chapter 2, you'll see that Paul is writing from prison. And it's very possible that as he penned those words, he was awaiting execution. Paul knew the importance of passing the torch to the next generation. Paul spent his entire ministry passing the torch to the next generation. "And the things you have heard me say, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." When I read this, it tells me this: the gospel message, the anointing on your life, was not meant to end with you. The anointing on your life is not a trophy to display. It is a flame to transfer. You and I are not called to merely show up here and receive an anointing. We are called to disciple our sons and our daughters. Paul didn't just preach sermons. He didn't just write books. He poured into Timothy, and Timothy became this, a torchbearer. We pass the torch. The next generation becomes the torchbearer. I want to give you 3 points this morning on this idea of passing the torch and what must be done. When we talk about the torch, we talk about our faith, our anointing, and what we pass to the next gen. My first point, the torch, our faith, must be guarded before it's given. Before you give something, you have to protect it. Have you ever tried to pass a lighted candle? As you walk with it and pass it, you must protect the flame. Paul told Timothy earlier in chapter 1, he tells him to guard what was entrusted to him. It says that the good thing that was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. You cannot give away, church, what you have not guarded and kept safe. I can tell you from spending a few days with these young people, I can tell you this for certainty. This generation doesn't need hype. They need holy fire. They don't need a performance. They need our presence in their life. They need the generation before them to guard their flame. We are stewards of the gospel message to the next generation. I would encourage you, church, this: guard your doctrine and your theology. Guard your integrity as a man or woman of God. Guard your values. And listen, guard your intimacy with God. You heard a couple of points here, or this fire point. Every time I would have a text, a subject, I would end with a fire point. And this is like a sentence that would kind of summarize the whole thing. I would ask them, are you ready for the fire point? So I'm going to ask you, are you ready for the fire point this morning? If your torch dies with you, the next generation stands in the dark. You understand that we have a responsibility to these young people? If the torch dies with you, the next generation stands in the dark with no direction, no guidance, and no path. The next point about our torch, first, it must be guarded. Secondly, this, your torch must be modeled before it's given. Your torch must be modeled before it's given. Listen, the next generation is not listening to what you say. They don't listen. You know what they do? They watch how you live. Consider Moses and Joshua. Joshua didn't just attend Moses' sermons. He stayed where? In the tent of meeting. He watched how Moses prayed, and he observed how Moses obeyed. This isn't a fire point, but this is a really good one. I base everything I believe on this next point. We as a church, we do not accidentally raise up leaders. They're not accidentally created. We model leadership. It is not accidentally created. We model it and intentionally invest in them. Modeling your torch means this: inviting them into your prayer life. Inviting them into your prayer life. It's one thing to say, I'm praying for you. It's another thing entirely to say that I'm praying with you. You see the difference? We model our prayer life when we invite them in to prayer. Secondly, we model our torch this way. We show them how you handle pressure. Oftentimes we try to protect and we try to hide. Listen, we model how we handle pressure, and that demonstrates to the next generation how to handle the greater pressures of this world when we model it. Thirdly, and most importantly, and it's a little tough to talk about, I don't think we talk about it much anymore. The third way that we model our flame, we let them see your repentance. When's the last time your child saw you repent before the Lord? When's the last time that you modeled a spirit and life of repentance, turning away from the old things and turning towards God? This whole thing is summarized like this, and it's also the point of our whole weekend. Discipleship, modeling our faith, is all based on proximity. How effective we are at discipling the next gen determines how close we get. Do you see it? We don't just raise up leaders. We don't just fortify this next generation by creating a program and throwing money at it. We actively invest in them. We, as the older generation, we can't complain, church, if the next generation is weak, if you and I haven't modeled strength. I hear nowadays that the state of the compromise of the next generation, we fault their compromise. We talk about the compromised state of the younger generations, their sexual immorality, their beliefs. They don't tolerate anything. But church, I want to challenge you this morning that we cannot criticize the next generation's compromise if we have not modeled conviction and repentance. If we haven't modeled conviction and repentance, the next generation has nothing to go off of. You ready for the fire point? Your ceiling should be their floor. What do I mean? The height that you've reached in your life should be where the next generation starts their walk. What you've accomplished, where you've reached, should be the beginning of the next generation. Number three. The torch must then ultimately be released, not controlled. Here's the hardest part. Letting go of anything is hard. But listen to this. In 2 Kings, we see that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what shall I do for you before I am taken from you? Before I pass the torch, what shall I do?" Do you know what Elisha said? "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." Elisha, the next generation ought not receive a weaker anointing. They ought to receive a double portion as we release it to them. If the next generation doesn't go farther than we've gone, then we've done them a disservice. Releasing the torch means this: trusting them with responsibility, giving them the appropriate amount of room to grow, and allowing them to make mistakes and learn. The torch must be released, not controlled. Think of this: a relay runner who refuses to pass the baton disqualifies not himself, not the next runner, the entire team. The torch must be passed, not controlled. You ready for the fire point? This idea of passing the torch is this: the kingdom of God is bigger than our preferences on how Sunday morning looks or sounds. The kingdom of God is bigger than our preference. The gospel is bigger than our traditions. Our mission is bigger than what our comfort zone is. The kingdom of God is not easy, church. It is not for the faint of heart. It pushes us beyond our boundaries. But we know that he has sent whom to empower his believers? The Holy Spirit, and he lives in you. We are living, friends, in urgent times. Culture is loud. Information overloads us in every direction. Truth is contested, and in fact, there is no truth anymore. Faith is mocked at every turn. But church, the same Holy Spirit who empowered us is ready to empower them. So the question is not, are they ready? The question is, are we willing? They are ready. Are we willing? Are we willing to mentor? Are we willing to disciple? Are we willing to be present? Let me give you a few practical steps for passing the torch. We've looked at this idea, this concept. Let me give you some practical tips. Number one, pray for and pray with your sons, your daughters, your spiritual sons and daughters. Pray for, pray with. Secondly, this is something I don't do it as much as I should, but I don't see this anymore. Identify potential in the next generation and call it out. Because I'm standing here today, literally, because people before me saw something in me, and they had no reason, they had no prerogative to, but they told me. They identified a calling and invested that in me. Identify potential in the next generation and call it out. Create opportunities for them to serve. They've done an incredible job here this weekend. They not only have they taken over this building and destroyed it, I was here last night, they served, and I walked in this morning and I was blown away at what these young people did. They have a respect for this place. Give them opportunities to serve. They will blow you away. Here's one. Speak blessing in their life, not criticism. Criticism is a whole lot easier to identify and point out. Blessing is a lot harder. Speak blessing, not criticism. Celebrate their victories. So today isn't just a youth emphasis service that we get a chance to once a year shine a light on them. I truly believe in my spirit that this is an opportunity. This is an important step in the history of PPT. Why? Because as the next generation prepares for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we as the older generation must play a part in it. I want you to imagine a church where elders carry wisdom and the youth carry the fire. Not a disconnected church, not a multi-generational church, a church where the elders carry the wisdom and the young people carry the fire, where experience and passion collide. Where legacy that we honor meets revival. The Lord is doing a mighty work in the younger generation. We've seen it in the last few weeks in Florida, in Southeastern University. We saw a revival, a movement of God at that university. This church where elders carry wisdom and the youth carry the fire, experience and passion collide, where legacy and revival meet, that is a church that shakes the very city it is planted in. Amen? Church, the fire that's in your life, I can almost surely promise you that it was handed to you by someone. A praying grandmother, a faithful pastor. How about a Sunday school teacher that refused to quit on you? Someone in your life passed the torch. You are here because someone passed the torch. Now, it's your turn. Don't let the flame flicker out in your hands. Guard it, model it, release it. Pass the torch, ignite the next generation. Amen? You think about that. Thank you.